The Book of Daniel, number 190, the prophetic crescendo, unveiling the Battle of Panium and the prelude to the Sunday Law. Key takeaways. The article intricately examines the Battle of Panium, portraying it as a critical precursor to the enactment of the Sunday Law, signifying a pivotal moment in prophetic history where spiritual warfare reaches its zenith. It draws parallels between historical battles and their symbolic significance in the context of end-time prophecies, particularly highlighting the role of the United States and its transition towards national apostasy. Through a detailed analysis of biblical prophecies, historical events, and symbolic interpretations, the article unveils the spiritual and prophetic dimensions of the Battle of Panium, setting the stage for the Sunday Law and the subsequent global conflicts, marking the fulfillment of key end-time prophecies. It emphasizes the urgency of understanding and preparing for these unfolding events, as they herald the nearness of the end and the culmination of God's executive judgment on earth. The Battle of Panium is depicted as a significant spiritual battle, serving as a precursor to the critical enactment of the Sunday Law, marking a turning point in prophetic history. The article connects the Sunday Law's enactment to the United States' fulfillment of its prophetic role, leading to national apostasy, followed by national ruin, as predicted in biblical prophecies. Through the Battle of Panium, the article explores the symbolic struggle between apostate Protestantism and globalist ideologies, leading up to the Sunday Law and the third woe associated with it. It interprets the Battle of Panium and the Battle of Actium within the broader narrative of end-time events, emphasizing their symbolic significance in the unfolding of the last great conflict and the Third World War. The narrative underscores the sealing of the 144,000 and the critical importance of spiritual preparedness for God's people in anticipation of the overwhelming surprises that precede Christ's second coming. The article elucidates the interplay between historical battles, biblical prophecies, and modern-day events, weaving a complex tapestry that highlights the nearness of the end and the urgency of understanding and responding to these prophetic signals. It calls for heightened awareness and preparation among God's people, stressing the imminence of great and solemn events as foretold in Scripture, which will unfold as a dramatic culmination of God's plan for humanity. The last article ended with a passage that included the paragraph that said, "Transgression has almost reached its limit. Confusion fills the world, and a great terror is soon to come upon human beings. The end is very near. We who know the truth should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. Transgression reaches its limit when the cup of probationary time is filled, and that limit is reached for the United States at the Sunday Law. But Christ declared that not one jot or tittle of the law should fail until heaven and earth should pass away. The very work that he came to do was to exalt the law and show to the created worlds and to heaven that God is just and that his law need not be changed. But here is Satan's right-hand man, ready to carry on the work that Satan commenced in heaven, that of trying to amend the law of God. And the Christian world has sanctioned his efforts by adopting this child of the papacy, the Sunday institution. They have nourished it and will continue to nourish it, until Protestantism shall give the hand of fellowship to the Roman power. Then there will be a law against the Sabbath of God's creation, and then it is that God will do a strange work in the earth. He has borne long with the perversity of the race. He has tried to win them to himself. But the time will come when they shall have filled their measure of iniquity, and then it is that God will work. This time is almost reached. God keeps a record with the nations. The figures are swelling against them in the books of heaven, and when it shall have become a law that the transgression of the first day of the week shall be met with punishment, then their cup will be full." Review and Herald, March 9, 1886. At the Sunday Law, the United States will have filled its cup to the full, and national apostasy will be followed by national ruin. The paragraph we are considering says, "Transgression has almost reached its limit, and a great terror is soon to come upon human beings." At the Sunday Law, which is the hour of the great earthquake in chapter 11 of Revelation, the tenth part of the city fell, and, "Behold, the third woe cometh quickly, and the seventh angel sounded. The third woe is the seventh trumpet, and it arrives at the Sunday law, bringing great terror. At that point, the end is very near, and it comes as an overwhelming surprise. At the Sunday law, the cup of probationary time is also filled up for the papacy, for then the second voice of Revelation 18 proclaims, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double, according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double." That history opens up at the Sunday law, and marks a symbolic period of time when the papacy shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. For in the last days there will be many martyrs. That which enrages the papacy is the tidings out of the east and out of the north, which shall trouble him. But he will come to his end, and none shall help him. From the Sunday law to the end of the papacy, the first phase of God's executive judgment begins. It is followed by the second phase, which is the seven last plagues, and finally the eternal destruction of the wicked at the close of the thousand-year millennium. The history of God's executive judgment is placed within the context of war. We are standing upon the threshold of great and solemn events. Prophecies are fulfilling. Strange, eventful history is being recorded in the books of heaven. Everything in our world is in agitation. There are wars and rumors of wars. The nations are angry, and the time of the dead has come that they should be judged. Events are changing to bring about the day of God, which hasteth greatly. Only a moment of time, as it were, yet remains. But while already nation is rising against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, there is not now a general engagement. As yet the four winds are held until the servants of God shall be sealed in their foreheads. Then the powers of earth will marshal their forces for the last great battle. Christian Service, 50-51. God seals the 144,000 and then calls his other flock out of Babylon. And the other flock also received the seal of God, though they are represented as the great multitude, in contrast with the 144,000. The essential point to see in the previous quote is that the four winds are held until the servants of God shall be sealed in their foreheads. At the Sunday law, the 144,000 have been sealed, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Yet it is not until the last of God's other flock have received the seal that the four winds are fully released. The nations are now getting angry, but when our high priest has finished his work in the sanctuary, he will stand up, put on the garments of vengeance, and then the seven last plagues will be poured out. I saw that the four angels would hold the four winds until Jesus' work was done in the sanctuary, and then will come the seven last plagues. Review and Herald, August 1, 1849. The great and solemn events which we are standing upon the threshold of are represented as wars and rumors of wars. It is represented as occurring when everything in our world is in agitation, when nations are already rising against nation. Panium represents the strange and eventful history in verse 15 of Daniel chapter 11 that leads into and ushers in verse 16, which is the Sunday law, where the general engagement that all the powers of earth marshal their forces for the last great battle begins. That last great battle is the Third World War and is represented by the Battle of Actium in 31 BC. Verses 1 and 2 and verses 10 through 15 represent the hidden history of verse 40 in Daniel 11. Verse 40 identifies the history of the United States and Adventism from 1798 unto 1989. It then is silent until the end of the United States as the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy, and the spewing out of the Laodicean Seventh-day Adventist Church in verse 41, which is the Sunday law. That is also verse 16. Verses 1 and 2 identify the time of the end in 1989, and the presidents of the United States from that point until the sixth rich president who stirs up the satanic globalists. Verse 2 brings the history to the election of Donald Trump in 2016. And then verse 3 takes up the history of the ten kings, represented by Alexander the Great, who is the seventh kingdom of Bible prophecy, who give their kingdom to the papacy at the soon coming Sunday law crisis. Verse 10 closes by identifying 1989 as the time of the end, and verses 11 and 12 set forth the war in the Ukraine, identifying that Putin and Russia will win the war, but that they will not be benefited by their victory. The Ukrainian war began in 2014, a year before Trump's first campaign began. These verses lead into the resurrection, politically, of Donald Trump as he begins his third campaign to become the eighth president, that is, of the seven. Verse 13 identifies the political struggles of Trump that precedes his victory at Panium in verse 15. And verse 14 addresses the history that occurs during the Battle of Panium until his victory in verse 15. The history when the man of sin begins to openly intrude into political history. When the papacy intrudes into prophetic history, the Whore of Tyre begins to sing, and the vision is established. The victory at Panium in 200 BC was followed by the waymark of the Maccabees' revolt at Modin, meaning protest, in 167 BC. In 64 BC, the Maccabees rededicated the temple, and Antiochus Epiphanes died, marking the turning point in the Maccabean struggle against the Greek religious influence. In the period from 161 BC to Wien 58 BC, the work of entering into a league was initiated and finalized. The prophetic waymarks repeat in the Hasmonean dynasty within the history of verses 15 to verse 23. The league with Rome in verse 23 is a direct reference, but in verse 15, the four Maccabean waymarks of 167 BC, 164 BC, 161 BC, and 158 BC are only seen when the history of the league is applied to the verse. When Pompey conquered Jerusalem in verse 16, he was confronted with a civil war that was taking place within the city, and the two opposing parties were both splinter groups of the Hasmonean dynasty. The Maccabees are therefore also in the history of verse 16. Verse 20 identifies the birth of Christ, and verses 21 and 22 identify the history of Christ's death. Therefore, that history has the line of the Hasmonean dynasty, represented by the Pharisees. Verses 15 through 23 are identifying the literal glorious land and God's Judean apostate people who professed to be the defenders of his truths, but were no more God's representatives than his apostate Protestantism. Sister White informs us that much of the history that has taken place in fulfillment of the 11th of Daniel will be repeated. The line of prophecy represented by the Hasmonean dynasty represents the line of prophecy illustrating the apostate horn of Protestantism beginning at the third presidential campaign that is taken up by the sixth richest president. Trump runs for president three times. The first and the last time he runs, he is victorious. But the second time, the rebellion represented by the number 13 identifies the stolen election of 2020. The world is then being divided into two classes. One class can see 2020, and the other class is blind. It symbolizes the great test which precedes the close of probation for Adventists in the formation of the image of the beast. Already preparations are advancing, and movements are in progress, which will result in making an image to the beast. Events will be brought about in the earth's history that will fulfill the predictions of prophecy for these last days. Review and Herald, April 23, 1889. The advancing preparations, the movements that are now in progress, and the events which will result in making an image to the beast, and that will fulfill the predictions of prophecy for these last days, include the waymarks of the Hasmonean dynasty from verses 15 to 23 on Daniel chapter 11. The apostate Hasmonean dynasty, representing apostate Protestantism, is woven into the testimony of Donald Trump, the sixth and eighth Republican president who stirs up and engages his MAGAism against the wokeism of the New World Order. The testimony of Trump reaches to 2020 in verse 2 of Daniel 11, and it includes his campaign and first term. Then verses 13 through 15 identify his third and last campaign, victory, and his last term. Between the two terms, Revelation chapter 11 identifies that the Republican horn was slain and laid dead in the street for 3.5 days. That line of Trump's history ties together the beginning and ending of his presidencies in Daniel chapter 11. Thus, the testimony of Donald Trump is located in both the books of Daniel and the Revelation, and it is located in both books in chapter 11. The three partial lines, when brought together, identify Trump's complete history as the sixth and the eighth president, and they are structured upon the signature of truth. They come from the books of Daniel and Revelation and produce a line of history which aligns with that portion of the book of Daniel that relates to the last days. That portion of Daniel is what is unsealed by the Lion of the tribe of Judah just before the close of probation, and is therefore an element of the sealing message of the 144,000. But it requires spiritual 2020 vision to see the prophetic waymarks of the two witnesses being slain in 2020. Verse 15 of Daniel 11 represents the Battle of Panium and the line of the Hasmonean dynasty, which was fulfilled by a literal battle, thus symbolizing a prophetic illustration of a spiritual war between the religion of apostate Protestantism and the religion of the globalists' New Age. The Battle of Panium, which occurred in 200 BC, represents the Battle of the Republican Horn, and the struggle represented by the Maccabean Revolt represents the Battle of the Apostate Protestant Horn. Though the Revolt of the Maccabees occurred in 167 BC, it aligns prophetically with the Battle of the Republican Horn in 200 BC, for prophetically the horns parallel each other's histories. Verse 15 represents the prophetic history which immediately precedes and leads into the soon coming Sunday Law. It therefore represents the very point in the sealing time of the 144,000, when the power within the sealing message eternally impresses the seal upon God's last day people. It is the Lion of the tribe of Judah who unseals that truth, and that truth is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The 144,000 are those who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And when he unseals, verse 15, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has led his last day people to Panium. Jesus illustrated this very point in the sealing process when he took his disciples to Panium just before the cross. The war of Panium is specifically addressed by Christ when he was standing in Panium with his disciples and there instructed them that his church would be built upon the confession of Peter and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Jesus identified the warfare that is represented by the Battle of Panium. The Battle of Panium is verse 15, and verse 16 is the Battle of Actium. Christ stood at Panium just before the act of his death played out. Panium to the Sunday Law is the history of the political and religious struggle of the earth beast's two apostate horns of Protestantism and Republicanism. They were both attacked by the atheistic beast from the bottomless pit in 2020, and the warfare of the two horns against the political and religious gods of globalism is represented within the history of verses 11 through 16. From the Ukrainian war that began in 2014 to the first presidential campaign of Donald Trump beginning in 2015, unto the death of the two horns in 2020, unto the resurrection of 2023, to the third campaign of Trump, which began on November 15, 2022, the history leads to verses 13 to 15. In those verses, the history that is revealed by God's prophetic word represents the prophetic truths which seal the 144,000. Those truths were illustrated in Christ's visit to Caesarea Philippi in Matthew chapters 16 and 17. In those verses, the man of sin returns to prophetic history, singing the songs of the Whore of Tyre, and in so doing establishes the vision, thus placing those verses in the context of the midnight cry, "For where there is no vision, the people perish." Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Proverbs 29:18. Those who have eyes but will not see, and ears but refuse to hear, are the foolish Laodicean virgins that do not have the oil. The oil is the increase of knowledge that is produced when the revelation of Jesus Christ is unsealed just before probation closes. And according to Hosea, God's people who refuse and reject knowledge are to be destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Hosea 4:6. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see, and see not. They have ears to hear, and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Ezekiel 12:1-2. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Isaiah 6:9-10. And the disciples came, and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Matthew 13:10-17. All the messages given from 1840-1844 are to be made forcible now, for there are many people who have lost their bearings. The messages are to go to all the churches. Christ said, Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Matthew 13:16. Blessed are the eyes which saw the things that were seen in 1843 and 1844. The message was given, and there should be no delay in repeating the message, for the signs of the times are fulfilling. The closing work must be done. A great work will be done in a short time. A message will soon be given by God's appointment that will swell into a loud cry. Then Daniel will stand in his lot to give his testimony. Manuscript Releases, Volume 21, 437. We will continue this study in the next article. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1:1-3.